The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, we are kicking off a series on Ghostbusters, and we chose that because we ain't afraid of no ghosts. You're going to have to put up with all the Ghostbusters references. I'm so sorry. And we know who to call when they come. And so it's true. We don't actually usually spend a lot of time focusing on the enemy. We don't spend a lot of time here talking about darkness or talking about what the enemy's doing. But we really felt like it was good and right for us to spend a little time being aware of his devices in this time, and being aware that we actually are in a spiritual battle. I think there's been periods in the church, not necessarily this church, but there's been periods in the church at large that has been more focused on spiritual warfare. I remember attending prayer meetings where people spent hours shouting down the devil and pushing walls and all kinds of things in sort of demonstration of our offense against the enemy. And we just haven't really been in that season where we've had that kind of focus. I can't say that I miss that. I'm really glad with where we've landed. But I feel like this is a season that we do need to be aware that we are in a spiritual battle. And not from the standpoint that spiritual warfare is meant to be the centerpiece of our Christian life, because Jesus is meant to be the centerpiece of our Christian life. And that's the place that we come at this from. But to know that we have an enemy and that we're engaged in a battle, and to not be ignorant of what that looks like in our lives. So my goal over this next several weeks is that we would become aware without becoming obsessed. That we would be equipped without being overburdened. And that we would be engaged without being afraid. Because I believe that the reason this is important is that the Lord does want us to engage a little bit differently in this season. But we're going to do it from a place of knowing that we already have victory. We're going to do it from a place not of being fearful. And we're going to do it from an offensive posture, not a defensive posture. And so that's a little bit what I'm going to talk about today. But I do just want to start out with why it matters. The Bible tells us, do not be unaware of the enemy's devices. Do not be unaware or ignorant of the enemy's devices. And I think it's important that we recognize that it's dangerous to be in a battle and not know that you are. Right? Like wandering into a battlefield is a dangerous place to be. Or one time when we were first married, or maybe we'd been married a few years because I was pregnant with Josiah, we had a family reunion for Brian's side of the family. And I had heard about these just epic family reunions with the Lindquist side of the family, his mom's side of the family, and just how much fun they had, but they hadn't had one in a long time. And so here I am meeting half of the family that I really hadn't met before. And we took a big group picture, and then there were, you know, little family pictures, okay, you know, Brian's mom's sister's family in a group and taking that picture. And when we were taking our picture on Brian's mom and all of her family, there was a water balloon assault unleashed on us, totally unawares. And water guns, we got completely destroyed because we didn't know there was a battle. We showed up, and this was our first, you know, family reunion in a long time, and we're meeting a lot of the family for the first time. But, you know, they used to do this. They used to have these big water fights, and we showed up not aware that there was a battle. We got completely obliterated. It was awesome. And I went, yes, I have married into the right family. This is the family for me. But it was dangerous to be part of that and not know that we were in a battle. We weren't equipped. We didn't have any weapons. We didn't have any defense, and so it's important. The other thing that is dangerous is to be at war and not realize the nature of the battle that we're in. To not realize the conditions of the battle that we're in, and because we can show up with weapons that are not suited for that battle. We can, it's like showing up to the Tet Offensive with a Nerf gun. The Tet Offensive was a really big military campaign during the Vietnam War. Okay, let me try a different one. If we show up to a battle and we don't understand the nature of the war we're in or the conditions, it's like during desert warfare when weapons were brought in that were susceptible to sand and they would jam because they would get sand in them. Or tanks that came in, I was reading about it when we were in England about, I don't even know where we were that I read about that, but that they had, the British Army had come in to join that offensive, and they had tanks that are supposed to run for 500 hours that ran for 4 hours because their filters got clogged with sand and dust. And so in a natural standpoint, if we show up to a battle and we don't understand the nature of the battle that we're in, we're ill-equipped. And we don't have what we need for that battle. And so we do need to be aware. We need to be aware so we bring the right weapons. The other reason that we need to be aware and not be ignorant, we need to be aware of the enemy's devices so that we know that we have an enemy, so that we're fighting the right enemy. Right? If we show up to a battle and we don't realize who we're fighting, we end up with all kinds of collateral damage. We see this, my husband and I are family life pastors. We see this all the time in marriages where the enemy comes in and he is bringing division. He's bringing fear. He's bringing separation. He's bringing anger. He's bringing all these things into their marriage. And they have come to the place where they believe that this other person that I share my bed with is my enemy. And it's an amazing transformation when we go, nope, that's not your battle. Your battle is with an enemy who's come to kill, steal, and destroy from you. And it's not that man or it's not that woman that you're married to. And so it's really important that we understand not what other people are doing, but that we understand the devices of the enemy that's involved in that so that we're fighting the right battle. Have you ever seen the comedy bit where somebody bumps into somebody or punches somebody and someone turns around to punch him back and the guy that did the thing gets out of the way and they punch a different guy in the face? That happens all the time in our relationships. The enemy initiates something, he flicks us, and we turn around and we punch the wrong guy because we don't recognize the battle that we're in. It's important that we're aware of it, not that we're obsessed, not that we're wholly focused, but that we're aware of it. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Our battle is not against people. We have zero permission to unleash warfare on people. And the concern that I sometimes have when we start talking in the church about spiritual warfare, I wonder what that sounds like outside of the church. That militants that rises up against us, against these principalities and power, it's really important that we know it's never against people. It's against principalities and powers that are robbing people, that are deceiving people. And the tenacity in us should be for the sake of those people's safety. It should be for the sake of this enemy that is taking them captive, that is deceiving them. That thing that rises up in us is not a response to what other people are doing. What rises up in us is a response to the way that the enemy is stealing, killing, and destroying in their lives or in society. We face spiritual battles individually in just our walking throughout daily life, and we face spiritual battles in relationship, but there's also a spiritual battle going on in the world around us, in our communities, in our society, and we need to make sure that we recognize who we're actually fighting, and it's not people. In fact, we will fight on behalf of people to see them liberated. And so it's important that we're aware of the enemy's devices and his plan in that. I think there's times that people are allied with his purposes. But we need to recognize that they don't always know that. That there's a deception in that. In Romans, it talks about how we were once enemies of God, because we were allied with the enemy in his purposes, but that we came into it, Romans 5:10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, so much more, having been reconciled, who shall be saved by his life? Just the reminder that people don't know that they're in a spiritual battle. And it's up to us that are spiritually minded to see it from a spiritual standpoint and to fight it in a spiritual way, not wrestling against flesh and blood. Priscilla Shearer, she's a woman preacher, and she was the woman in War Room, the young woman. She says this. She says that we tend to see our problems and struggles in a non-spiritual way. And when we see our struggles and our problems in a non-spiritual way, then we seek non-spiritual answers, which to me is like bringing the wrong gun to desert warfare. We seek an answer that isn't going to work in that fight. Here's a quote. Everything that occurs in the visible physical world is directly connected to a wrestling match being waged in the invisible spiritual world. The effects of the war going on in the unseen world reveals themselves in our strained and damaged relationships, emotional instability, mental fatigue, physical exhaustion, and many other areas of our lives. Many of us can feel pinned down by anger, unforgiveness, pride, comparison, fear, insecurity, discord, the list goes on. But the overarching primary nemesis behind all of these outcomes is the devil himself. So what she's saying is our biggest problems are actually spiritually rooted and need spiritual solutions. And we can't be ignorant of that. Okay, here's my Ghostbusters reference. Because we're meant to be the Ghostbusters. We are spiritually minded. And so I didn't actually see the Ghostbusters movies because I grew up in church. And we didn't watch them. But I think I've seen parts of them. But the general idea is that something strange in the neighborhood. Yeah. Something strange starts happening. And it's causing havoc in the city. And the people they're afraid because they don't know what's happening. But there's these people that recognize that this is something paranormal. This is something that is happening in a different realm. They recognize the spiritual aspect of it, and they have the tools to defeat it. So in this, you know, I assume it's this way in all of the versions. I think there's two or three different versions of Ghostbusters, but that they call them in, or they call in the police and the fire department and the army, and they have no power over what's happening there because they don't recognize that it's a spiritual thing, that it's a battle on a different level. And so then these guys who are kind of geeky and in the newer version women, they're kind of geeky and they probably don't have a very good social life. They pull up in their Ghostbuster mobile. Yes. Okay. Well, he knows cars, so he knows what that is. And they have this equipment that they use, and they detect this is a spiritual phenomenon. This is something that's happening in a different realm, and we need different weapons, and they have those weapons. And that is the opportunity that we have in society, in the lives of people around us, for us to recognize this is a spiritual thing that's going on, and I know what to do. That's why it matters that we recognize, not that we're focused on, but that we recognize the spiritual battle that we're in. So, we're going to take a glance at the enemy's devices, because that's all it's really going to take. We fix our eyes on Jesus, and we're going to glance at what it is that the enemy uses against us, because really, it kind of comes down to one lone weapon, and that is, he's lying all the time. And so any of the things that we see that he is trying to bring into our lives, whatever you call it, it really comes down to the same basic thing. He's lying. So we see, you know, deception is a big one. He's called the father of lies. And that's really the only thing that he can create. He doesn't really have any creative power. The thing that he can produce, the fruit, as the father of lies, that he produces is lies. And so that's really the lone thing that he can bring against us, is to tell us something that isn't true. And we see this right away in his first encounter with Adam and Eve. The one thing that he had was to lie. When God asked Eve what had happened, she said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And so the one way that he has any power in our lives is if we agree with his lie, right? We know this, that he tells a lie, it actually is kind of like firing blanks unless we agree with it. And so it makes him not really that powerful unless we think he's powerful, or unless we give the lie some power in our lives. And so it's important to recognize that that's the thing he's going to continually come against us with, is a lie. So even if we say, okay, I'm wrestling with fear, I'm in a battle against fear, it's really just a lie. It's him telling us over and over again that something that's untrue. So if I'm afraid of not having enough, he's telling us the lie that we're not going to be taken care of. He's telling us the lie that we've been left. We've been abandoned. We're not, whatever that is. If we're dealing with, what are some other ones? If we're dealing with discouragement, this is something where he comes in and he robs our courage by bringing discouragement. But it's just lie after lie after lie. There's no hope. This is never going to change. I'm not getting my needs met. You know, whatever it is, it's just a lie. This is the weapon that he brings against us. He uses it. Another thing that we have to be wary of is distraction. And that's really just based on the lie that this is more important than this. And so we buy into that. We get distracted with things. We come into a place of complacency where we forget we do have to be vigilant. We do have to be diligent. And we get distracted with busyness and all the other things. And it's really just a lie that says, no, I need this more than I need this. Pride. When we come into pride, it's basically just coming into the very agreement with his nature, that wants to exalt itself above who God is. When we deal with isolation, this is another one. Isolation is a dangerous place for us to be in a battle, isn't it? But he gets us isolated. Sometimes he uses the lie of shame to isolate us, or he uses the lie of unforgiveness to isolate us, to make ourselves not want to be with other people, and not, you know, because if they knew, this is the lie that he tells us. If they knew what you did, if they knew what you thought, they wouldn't want to be around you. And so we isolate ourselves. And it talks about I don't even know where the reference is, but it talks about being watchful because your adversary prowls around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. You've seen National Geographic. Who does he devour? The lone gazelle, right? That's isolated. And so we need to be careful that we not allow his eyes to let us come into isolation. Unforgiveness is another one that we can allow him to speak into a circumstance, allow him to tell us that we don't have to forgive that person. They don't deserve to be forgiven. It's not safe to forgive them. And so we can live in that place of unforgiveness or anger against another person. In Ephesians 4:27, when it's talking about being angry, it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not give the devil a foothold. So when he can talk us into staying angry at another person, it gives him a foothold in our lives. And another thing that he uses all of these lies to accomplish is division amongst us. We talked about that a little bit as it relates to marriages. The most powerful thing we have as a fighting unit is unity. That is the most powerful thing that we have. It was what God put in place from the very beginning. And all throughout the Bible, you see how God values unity. And so one of the primary things that he wants to destroy in our relationships, in our family, in the body, in community, is unity. So he comes against that, and he brings division just to make us weaker, just to make us more susceptible to his lies. And so we need to guard against those things. We need to be aware of those things. When I am at odds with another person, I need to begin to open my spiritual eyes to get off of what they're doing and all the things that I don't like about them and how they hurt me. And I need to see it from a spiritual standpoint. What is the enemy doing here? What is he bringing against me? Because really, when we are aware of it, then we cannot be in agreement with it, and it doesn't have power in our lives. So it's important for us to be aware. Another thing that I think it's important to recognize is that if I'm in a battle with a persistent sin in my life, we tend to look at that as something that is coming from within me, that I have to wrestle at within myself. But if we really believe what the word says, you do not in yourself contain a sin nature. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation. All that was old, all of that sin was gone, is gone, and you're a new creation. And that does not come from within inside you. What does happen is he comes out here and he brings that against you and he tries to get you to agree with that thing. So if you struggle with anger, for example, and you go, oh yeah, that's my sin nature. I've always had a temper. I've got to wrestle that thing to the ground. No, you're a new creation. You don't carry in you that anger. But he tries to come at and he brings anger to you. Here's an example of this. In Genesis, when Cain, remember Cain and Abel, when God came to Cain because Cain was feeling really bummed out that God wasn't accepting his offering and he was pouting and upset. And God said to Cain, why are you so downcast? don't you know that if you did right, you would be approved and all of that? But then he says this. He says, be careful. Anger stands at the door, and its desire is for you. And he's telling Cain, be careful. Anger's trying to get you to agree with him. Anger's desire is for your destruction, but it's not within you. It's outside of you, and its desire is to get you to come into agreement with it. And so this is a place where if we can recognize the battle is not in here. I am seated with Christ in here. I am fully a new creation in here. I am walking in the righteousness of Christ in this place. We do a good job of teaching people how to repent when they've come into agreement with sin and done sin, but we need to do a really good job of teaching people how to resist it in the first place. When it comes to them just as a thought, when it comes to them as a reminder of, yeah, this is what you do. You do this thing. You step into anger. Yeah, no, this is your addiction. This is your addiction, and it belongs to you, and it's yours to wrestle. No, it's not your addiction. It's his addiction. And he's going to continue to come to you if you'll agree with his addiction. Right? And for us, the truth is, if we can resist that, if we can say no to that and not come into agreement with that, it doesn't have power in our lives. It takes a few times. It takes a few times. It's going to knock on the door a few times because, you know, we've let it in a bunch of times. We've let that weapon land in our lives. And so that's the place. That's a place that he's going to continue to try to have an effect in our lives. But there's things in our lives, even now, that I want the Lord to bring to your mind that you have thought was your battle to fight internally that really is outside, and you get to stand against that thing with the truth of who you really are. You're not an angry person. You are not a person of fear. You are not a person who is in bondage to addiction. And so when we are aware of the fact that this is a spiritual battle that he's bringing against us, then we know how to fight that and we can do it effectively. So, these are some of his devices. And as I prepared for this, what I found is that the Bible spends way more time talking about the weapons of our warfare. And so that's what I want to talk some more about. Because we can be aware that these things are going to be coming against us, but the emphasis in the Bible is on our weapons, the weapons of our warfare. And I believe that one of the things that the Lord is shifting for us in our understanding of spiritual warfare is that the weapons that he gave us are meant to be offensive rather than defensive. And there's this mentality around spiritual warfare that says it's all about how do we defend ourselves against this enemy that's coming at us. And so we can stay in this posture of defense. But when I'm looking at the word, what I see is that when God's people are in right standing with him, their position is always offensive in nature. Even most of the battles that Israel fought as they were trying to step into the promised land was because they were advancing. They were advancing towards the promised land. So battles weren't necessarily coming to them. They were coming to battles because they were taking ground. They were advancing. And we need to recognize that is our position. Can you grab me my coffee? Because we all know coffee's good for your voice. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. I couldn't get off of this verse. And you know me, I wanted like 50 verses. because that's how I like to preach. But this is the one that the Lord just kept bringing me back to. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So this is just another reminder. This is a spiritual battle. This isn't a battle of flesh and blood. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How many of you know that with any battle, or really with any task, it's all about the equipment, right? Some of you guys have 8,000 tools in your garage because, and that you've maybe only used once or not at all, but because for any job, it's all about the equipment. One time we wrestled with putting a new faucet in and trying to get our nuts or bolts, whatever, I'm not super handy, tightened on this faucet. Well, no, I'm not. We wrestled with that until somebody goes, you know, there's a tool for that. Like, have you ever tried to do that around the gooseneck of the, and you can't quite reach it? And there was a specific tool that reaches around and tightens that for you. That was amazing. That made our life so much easier. And so what I see in this verse is that any war is won when you have better weapons. And so the Bible talks about the devices of the enemy, the tactics of the enemy, very minimally, by the way. But it talks a lot about the weapons of our warfare. So we're in a battle, and we are fully equipped. There are weapons of our warfare that we have, and it's not complicated. These are things that we can use in our daily lives. I love what Deuteronomy 28:7 says. It says, the Lord will cause those who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way, and they will flee before you seven ways. That is the mark of our lives as believers. We are not cowering in a defensive position. We're not just trying to stave off the enemy. Not in our individual lives, not in our families, not in our communities, not in this nation. We are not coming and battling from a defensive position. And when we try to do battle from that position, we're going to find that it's harder. Because we're meant to be in an offensive position. We have a God whose government is increasing as days go by. The government will be upon his shoulders, and it will increase. And so we are fighting a battle that is in an offensive posture. Does that mean that the enemy doesn't come against us and that we have to shield ourselves? No, there are those times. But we need to do everything we can to then respond to that with an offensive response, an offensive assault. And so in some ways, that's exactly what Judy was talking about. She was talking about how it's not just knowing this is the lie. It's knowing, okay, now I'm going to launch an offensive assault with the truth, because that destroys the enemy. Truth destroys him. And so it's not enough to go, that's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie. And to stay in that kind of, you know, okay, good. Good to know, that's a lie. What's the truth? Because that's what you're going to step into. That's what you're going to move into. And so we have a responsibility to have an arsenal of truth. We have a responsibility to know. Right here, we have a whole bunch of it. that we can use when the enemy comes against us with the lie, we have the truth. It's like, again, I don't see a lot of movies, so it's funny, I have all these movie references. But the, you know, have you ever seen a movie where there's, you know, launching for a battle, and they're like, man, I don't know, I think we're outmanned and outgunned, and some guy, like, flips a lever, and he's got this hidden lab, and it's got this huge weapons arsenal, like, all, like, lined up all on the wall. It's like spy movies, or I don't know. But it's like that. It's like we have this state-of-the-art weapons facility that we have access to, that is, we're going to be outmanning him every time, outgunning him every time, if we are aware of what those things are, if we're aware of the weapons of our warfare. So one of the biggest things that we have is that God is with us. We see over and over again, especially in the Old Testament, where he says, be strong and be of good courage. Do not fear, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. So not only do we have a God who equips us, not only do we have a God who has fought for us and fights for us now, but we have a God who is with us in the battle. We have a God who wants to walk through it with us. I think sometimes when we come up against a battle, there's something in us that feels shame for even dealing with it, and we separate ourselves from the thing that could be the most effective, which is being with God in that process. Like, oh, let me fix this, God, and I'll come back. You know? But he wants to be with us in that battle. He's not ashamed that we're in a battle. He told us, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have things that are going to go on. But then what did he say? But don't be afraid, because I have overcome. And so we have a God with us who's out. He's already overcome this. He's already won this battle. A few weeks ago, when we were ending worship, the word of the Lord came out of my mouth. I didn't invite you into a battle. I invited you into a victory. And that's what we need to recognize. Even as we talk about the schemes of the enemy and the things that he's bringing against us, that is real. And we need to be vigilant. It's not a, I'm not dismissing it. But I want us to be seated in the right place of knowing we have the victory in this. And we have a God who's walking with us in it, who wants to be there with us. And because he's there with us, I can go, yeah, what do you think? What are we using here? I was just going to try to come up with the name of a gun, and I don't even know any names of any guns. Should we use the big one? I don't know. Anyway. But you know what I mean? Like, we have an advisor. We have a military strategist who knows what is the right weapon for this. What is the thing that is going to disarm the enemy against us in this situation? We have a God who's with us. That was what was so radical as we're getting closer to celebrating Christmas. I know, I won't talk about it, but... that's what's so radical about how we walk with Jesus. You know, the reality is most people believe in God, contrary to what you see in media and whatever. It's still very, very true that most people believe in God. The radical thing is we believe he's with us. That we have relationship with him, that he's in this with us, not that he's far off. And so that is a place that we stand that gives us victory over the enemy. Well, I'm having a coughing jag. Would somebody pass these out? Thank you. Okay, So we have a God who's with us. The other thing we have is we have his word. This is a primary way that he has given us to fight the enemy. And absolutely, I mean the written word. It talks about when we talk about putting on the full armor of God. It talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I believe, like anybody, any trained swordsman knows their weapon, right? They know the weight of it. They know how it moves. They know the handle, all of that. It's important that we know our weapon and that we spend time training in that. That's why we read the word. Not because it's a religious construct or it's something that we have to do to be approved. But we read the word because that helps us to know our weapon, to be able to wield it. It gives us ammunition for our arsenal. But the other thing that he gives us is the prophetic word. And this is something that I feel so blessed in this body that we are rich in. And, you know, for those of you that aren't super familiar, the way that I view the prophetic word is basically God speaking to us about the future or about a situation, him giving us his perspective, his truth, him giving us strength in speaking to us in that way. And so a prophetic word isn't something that has to be, you know, we have a prophet that comes a few times a year, a good friend of our house here, and he'll speak a prophetic word over someone in front of the assembly. That's not the only way God speaks prophetically. We have prophetic sessions coming up. Do you still have some open in October? One. Okay. Possibly. Okay. So there's prophetic sessions coming up October 13th, and the sign up is out there. And it's an opportunity to just get in a room with some people who want to just speak the word of the Lord over you, who want to speak encouragement over you. And what you can do then is that becomes part of your arsenal. That becomes something that you pull out as a truth when there's a lie coming against you. Or that's something that you pull out as a truth when you feel like the Lord wants you to take ground and to move offensively against the enemy. You wield that word as warfare. The Lord can speak prophetically to you just in your own basement, in your bedroom, in your car. And one of the things that we want to do is develop an arsenal. What are the things, Lord, that you want to tell me? So that as I go to war, I have these to wield as weapons. I have these things, these truths. These truths are amazing and awesome and powerful, and we want to wield these. But I feel like there's a different kind of truth that he wants to give us to be able to come against the schemes of the enemy. In 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says, "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight." These are the weapons of our warfare, the words that God has spoken over us. These are things that we can use to come against the enemy. The verse that we often use as it relates to the enemy is the one that talks about resist the devil and he'll flee. And I have always viewed that as I'm walking down the road and this bully comes up to me and he throws rocks at me and he's attacking me and I have to just resist him. Okay, I'm resisting. But resist the way that it's translated, one meaning of that is to hold one's position, to refuse to give up. Most of us see that as resisting the enemy, that he comes against us and we continue to hold our position. The other meaning of resist is to oppose forcefully, to set out against. And so what we need to recognize is that our best defense and offense against the enemy is to oppose the exact thing that he's bringing against us. So if he's bringing fear against us, it does not help us in our battle to respond in fear, right? If he's bringing anger against us, it doesn't help to respond with anger. Meaning if from out there someone's bringing anger against me, it's not a good weapon to use to now respond in anger, because in the spirit realm, now we've got two weapons aimed at us. Your anger and my anger, right? And so one of the things that we need to get really good at is opposing the enemy with our offensive weapons. So he's come against me with something. I can be defensive and say, nope, that's a lie. But then I'm going to flip it and I'm going to be offensive to the enemy in releasing the truth. And so we see when we're coming against the lie, we speak truth. When we're coming against fear or division, we respond in love. When he's coming against us with worry, we step into a place of peace, and it becomes destructive to him for us to walk in those things. But better still, if that is the way that we walk in our daily lives, then we're constantly on the offensive. If I'm living in the truth, if I'm declaring the truth, I'm not in a defensive posture, then I'm advancing and I'm in an offensive posture. And so it's important that we understand that defensive strategy as well as that offensive strategy. So here's what I want, what I handed out to you, because I just have to do a handout. You can throw them away. I don't even look in the garbage. It won't even hurt my feelings. But there is something in me that wants us to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. And sometimes it helps to have something to take with us to remind us of what it is we heard, right? So what I handed out to you is a blank space, and you could do this honestly in the cover of your Bible. You could do this in a little journal. But I believe that the Lord is going to, over this next week, he's going to remind you of what your arsenal is. He's going to drop into your spirit some specific scriptures that he wants you to use against the enemy, whether it's in a defensive response, if the enemy's bringing something against you. He wants to release to you the words to speak. Those words are warfare. When we look at the verse that says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There is a tenacity that needs to rise up in us when something is exalting itself against the knowledge of God in our life. There is a tenacity in us that needs to recognize that is not my thought. That is his thought. I don't have to come into agreement. And I'm mad that he would even bring that against me and try to exalt himself against the knowledge of Christ. And then we have a response to that. We have a truth that we can respond with. So whether it's a scripture that the Lord brings to mind, whether it's something that you've been standing on for a long time, a promise, or just recalling, what are the prophetic words that you've spoken over me, God? One time, we were in Mexico City. Brian has family in Mexico City, and so we went down to visit them. We went to a Six Flags. Was it a Six Flags, I think? A theme park. And, you know, we've got a younger daughter and an older son still at home, so we're kind of divide and conquer as far as going on rides and whatever. And Josiah wanted to go on this ride. It was called Superman, I think. And the way that it looked to me, I thought it was like one of those rides where you like sit down in chairs and there's a screen and it goes like this and, you know, whatever. I thought, I can do that. I can do that ride. And so we're standing in line forever. There's this building, and it's like a theater, I'm thinking. And so it's this building, and we're standing in line, standing in line, standing in line. And we've been in line for like almost an hour. And we get up to the front, and I realize people are getting into roller coaster cars. Now, I can do roller coasters. I'm fairly okay with that. So Josiah's, I'm like, oh, it's a roller coaster. And he's like, yeah. Do you not want to go? And I'm like, no, I'll go. So we get in, and right away we come out, and we start clicking up this hill that is, okay, it is the tallest roller coaster in North America, okay? And so we're clicking up this hill, and I can see we're not even halfway there, and panic sets in. I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. You know, like, literally, I'm feeling almost like I'm in a blackout. I am so afraid. And this is how I fought that fear. I recalled all of the prophetic things, because I'm sorry, yes, I thought of myself first. I did not think of my son. I don't know why. I feel really bad about that. I wasn't worried about his safety, but literally, it's one of those ones where it's so tall, it's like doing this, while you're, and then, you know, it stops, and then it goes on. Anyway, as we're climbing, and I can see all of Mexico City, not really, but it felt like it, I'm recalling prophetic words that have yet to be fulfilled in my life. No lie. I'm like, no, I am not going to die. I even said out loud, this is not how I die. Literally. And at that moment, Josiah goes, what? I mean, like, because he's like, this is great, you know, whatever. But there's a reality to, there's power in these prophetic words, the promises that God has spoken. Yes, in this word. But this is a season where we get to get a hold of the word of the Lord over our lives, because it is a powerful weapon. We get to get a hold of the word of the Lord over our kids who aren't walking with the Lord right now or who are struggling. That's the whole point of Judy's book, Help, I Have a Prodigal, is what has the Lord said about them? And that's what we're going to be in the battle with. We're not battling their behavior. We're not battling the what's happening in the natural. We're going to take the weapons of our warfare, the words that God has spoken, and we're going to use them to do battle against the lie that's coming, the fear that's coming, the division, whatever it is. And so this is what I would encourage you to do this week. Ask the Lord, what is my arsenal? What are the things, write it on this paper, write it somewhere else, whatever you want to do. What are the things that you have spoken to me? This mission and vision, when we do mission and vision at Higher Call in a couple weeks, there is something powerful about that offensive movement that we're stepping into that takes us out of a defensive position. Some of you right now are going, I'm just really in a battle. I can't step into mission and vision right now. I just can't. I mean, I'm just under it. No, you can. That's the way out of the battle, is to step into the offensive position that we're meant to walk in. We are the aggressors in spiritual warfare. And we do it with truth, and we do it with hope, and we do it with faith, and we do it with peace, and we do it with joy, and we do it by declaring the words of the Lord. So, there's an example there. At the bottom of your sheet, it says, what's coming against me? So this is a weapon that we use all the time. We train couples to use it when the enemy is coming against them in their marriage. We take a minute and go, okay, what's coming against me right now? This is what it means to take captive your thoughts, right? So what happens when you're in a war and you're taken captive? Usually the interrogation goes like this. Who are you? Where did you come from? And what is your purpose here? Right? So that's what I'm going to do with my thoughts. Okay, what are you saying to me? Where did you come from and what are you trying to do? If it doesn't line up with any of this, it must be shot, that thought, right? That's it. It can't live here with me. So I'm going to dismiss that. So we go, okay, what's coming against me right now? Sometimes it's a thing like anger, or it's a thing like hopelessness or fear or whatever. Sometimes it's a phrase. It's something someone spoke against me, or it's a lie that I'm believing. This is never going to change. Okay, I nail the lie that this is never going to change. Oh, here's my other test. Here's the other test we use. If I can't finish the sentence with, and Jesus wants it that way, then it doesn't get to live here. So this is never going to change, and Jesus wants it that way. Wrong answer. Okay, I'm angry, or I'm struggling with anger, and Jesus wants it that way. Nope. It's easy, right? It's really easy to know who the enemy is then. And so this is never going to change. I nail that to the cross. I break all agreements that I've made with the lie that this is never going to change, known or unknown. And I repent of joining with it. I found it really interesting that we talked about repentance today. Because all repentance is saying, I will not agree with that thing anymore. I'm not going to sit here and have a skirmish with it. I'm not going to sit here and battle it. I'm going to walk away from it. I'm not going to agree with that thing anymore. So, I repent of joining with it. I ask you, Father, to send the lie away from me that this is never going to change. And here's the offensive part that is destructive to the enemy. Father, what is the truth? What is the truth about this? And then I'm going to speak that out. And then tomorrow morning, before the enemy even comes at me with that lie, I'm going to make that declaration in the morning. I'm going to stay in that offensive posture. There are declarations that I make every morning about who Jesus is, about my kids. Do you know another thing that the enemy cannot withstand? Blessing. That is the most offensive weapon to him. And so we need to stay in that posture of being the ones who are advancing by using the words of the Lord to move us forward, not by hanging back and waiting for the attack of the enemy. If we want to see something change in somebody's life, if they have come against us with something, the most powerful thing we can do is to speak blessing into their life. To speak blessing over them. If there's something going on in society, in our community, we want to speak blessing over that. We don't want to spend 3 hours talking about the devices of the enemy. The Bible doesn't. But we're going to speak the truth of who Jesus is. We're going to speak the truth about what God wants to release in our communities, in our families, in our nation. You can practice that on Sunday nights. They do that. It's an offensive weapon that they're using against the strategies of the enemy. So, Lord, we thank you that you have invited us into a victory, not into a battle. And we thank you that you love to be in it with us, and that you have given us the weapons of our warfare, and that they are more than adequate to defeat the enemy in our lives, in our families, in our community. We thank you, Lord, that you are assembling the troops for an offensive movement against the enemy. And we ask that in these coming weeks, you would build our arsenal, the arsenal that we have of truth and of hope and of love and of power. In Jesus' name, amen.